Rob Z from San Diego.
My name is Robert. I'm an alcoholic. Great, good to see you. And I certainly appreciate Damien asking me to be the 10-minute speaker. I love talking about myself, and I love that everybody. I could feel everybody was cheering you on as you were reading your format, and that's what I love about AA is that we're all here, rooting each other on for one more day of sobriety. That your sobriety doesn't take anything away from me; it adds to my enjoyment of the fellowship. And I used to have a really bad stutter as a kid; it was terrible. And my sobriety date is July 8th, 1996. So I've been, gratefully, happy birthday to all the birthday recipients. That's we were talking before the meeting that it seems like the real, they say the treasure's under the X, meaning in the first 10 years, that's where you see the most growth. And I remember the first, especially the first 5 years, it just seemed like my life was just changing by leaps and bounds. I mean, just not having a hangover, like New Year's Day. I forgot somebody mentioned that. You remember hangovers? And especially in college, I go to the dining hall and, I was just trying to eat food to absorb all the acid. And, you're still drunk and you're and I hadn't learned about the morning drink. You guys taught me about that. I've learned a lot about drinking in AA. And I'd be dangerous if I went back out there again. So I think I'm just going to stay here. I go to meetings to see what's working for people and what's not working for people, and I see a lot of what doesn't work. And this thing gets worse over time. It's progressive. It's progressing even if you're not drinking. That's a scary thought. 17 and a half years without a drink or a drug. I was thinking, what I was like before, what happened and what I'm like now instead of what it's like, heard a New Year's Eve speaker talking about that, and what I used to be like. My vision of what drinking and drugging when it worked, when I was living in PB and a two bedroom apartment, I was sharing with the ex fraternity brother. I had a water bed, queen size water bed. I had a full size TrueView aquarium as my headboard, and I had my bong on the side, or my smoking apparatus thing on the side. It was a Grateful Dead. It was beautiful. It was a birthday. It was a Christmas present from my sister. And the carb was in the bow tie. It was awesome. And I love that thing. It was a sad day when I had to shatter it because I knew I couldn't have it in my possession and not slip back to those old slippery ways. So, I'd wake up on a Saturday morning, wake and bake, couple beers, and a Marlboro Light 100, baby. And I'd be, and that was about as good as the whole weekend got, And at the end of my drinking, the best my drinking was the half hour before I started drinking, was the thought that relief is coming, And as soon as I drank, especially after I'd come to AA after my first DUI, I really had a strong sense that I was the real deal. And it took a second DUI to really wake me up to the fact that I'm going to, when I drink, there's no guarantee of how this is going to go. And it's scary when you can't trust yourself to not get behind the wheel or not, get in legal trouble again. And, in college it was fun. And then, at 28 years old, when I finally kind of came in here and surrendered, I heard, it was interesting. I was going to a noon meeting where the secretary would say, "Hey, if you got a court slip and you want me to sign it now, I'll gladly sign it. And you can get out of here and go drink because, the seat you're sitting in is an expensive seat, and we paid a high price to be here. And if you don't want to be here, we don't want you here." And I was like, wow, that's very different message than I was hearing in my face-to-face meetings and my group get-togethers and Mad Mothers or whatever, you had to be there, and they were going to tell you, and this place was telling me, go get done. Drink as much as you need to drink to, finally be as desperate as the dying can be so you can, finally come in and join us. Because if you're not done, if you really don't want to get sober, this thing doesn't work, And I really get that. We had a meeting the other day about willingness, or this morning. And for me, willingness is, when my sponsor said, "Do you want to get sober?" You're going to have to ask yourself that almost every morning you wake up. Say, is today a day when you're willing to prioritize your sobriety above everything else? Because if I put AA first and God in the center of my life and make it first, everything that comes second is first class. And It's worked for a long time now, and it's amazing how I had so many problems when I came in here, and a lot of those problems just go away from just not drinking. But there's still a lot of problems that have, you know, it's like you stick the finger in that hole in the dam and suddenly three more spring out. And, you know, if there's a 12-step program associated with it, I'm a contender. I love that. Who's that? Leo Booth talks about that. He goes, from gamblersaholics to I don't know, he's pretty funny, but I won't go there. It's a great way of life here. What happened? I think that second DUI, the counselor said, you know, if you got a first DUI, there's a chance you may have made a, you know, bad judgment call. You could have, just got behind the wheel, you know, on a bad night. But if you got a second DUI, there's a really good chance you probably drink and drive a lot more than twice in your life. And I was that guy. I had a stick shift pickup truck, and there was a beer between my leg a lot of the times when I was driving, and I always had a sneak a toke somewhere in my center console. Sorry, that's just part of my story. I shouldn't share that at AA, but I love that stuff, and it still haunts me. That stuff haunts me more than the drinking, so I definitely need to be here. So I kind of started looking at that, you know, maybe, you know, and then the idea of the allergic reaction, you know, especially now. I never hung out with social drinkers, but now I'm around people that drink socially, and I don't, you know, they don't get that. Let's get, you know, that need to, you know, these buying rounds drives me crazy. Even back then, you know, it's like, you know, I'm done and I'm waiting for, you know, whose turn is it? Your turn, you know, let's go. You know, I don't know if I had an issue with evaporation or what, but I, my ice cubes hardly even rounded off, and I was just, you know, and until I got to that bloated, like, I'm going to go throw up in the bathroom, I wasn't done. So I don't know. I definitely know I belong here. And the tough thing is staying here. You know, I see so many people come in, you know, they get, oh, don't drink. Okay, I think I got it. Now, you know, I'm going to go back to my life, you know. There's a lot more to not drinking than just not drinking. I'm glad I heard a lot about the steps from the people taking the tokens. I definitely am a big believer that, I need to, you know, rework the steps more than once. I need to sponsor guys and work the steps with them when I sponsor them. I sponsor guys because I need sanity in my life. I'm not looking, you know, it is kind of nice when you get to be part of somebody else's sobriety and God's in the mix with that. And you get that one-on-one time and you see them get it, which is so rare. I mean, it's for all the guys I've sponsored, you know, maybe one out of 20, and that's a pretty good odd, I think. So, when I see a newcomer struggling, I give them my number, and I get their number, and I call them and say, hey, you know, because if you're new and you don't have a sponsor, give somebody else the opportunity to get well, too. Because, you know, just being here and not drinking a day at a time for a while, your life gets good, but there's, it's still, you know, life is uncomfortable and the disease morphs over time. It's still, you get into, you know, the person that's suffering in the rooms of AA can be that old timer sitting next to you as well. So I don't know. I've kind of come back to sponsoring being really important for me and you know, going through those steps and even the traditions. I like that. So what else? It's a day at a time, but it's a great way of life. I love it. I love traveling, going to meetings in other countries, and having that freedom to not be my own worst enemy. I mean, if drinking didn't do for me what it did, I wouldn't have let it do to me for as long as it did. You know, I love that. Turned me from Elmer Fudd to James Bond, you know. You know, I got that swagger, and I just didn't care, you know. It gave me that armor where I could, kind of be fearless. So I love the rooms here, and I love that, you know, you're up here being, fearless and just, and that we're all rooting you on. We're all rooting all of us on, you know, there's not many places in the world where you got people that are really, you know, in your corner, you know, wishing that you have a good life. And and, you know, stay here. I think that's for me, you know, even when I get to a point where I'm just bored with whatever, you know, I need to switch a meeting or something, I just keep coming back, and it's about, you know, the one-on-one. You know, for me, it's meetings are important and service is important, but if I'm not spending some time in my week one-on-one with another alcoholic, you know, like Bill and Bob did with the guy on the bed, you know, there's something missing in my program. So that's way too much out of me, and thanks for letting me share.